One of the victims of the 2021 Bruce Avenue fatal fire that claimed three lives told police she felt unsafe with the man now charged in her death and that he controlled money that she received, a Sudbury court heard March 25. Jamie Lynn Rose, 33, was in what's been described as an on-again, off-again relationship with Liam Stinson, the man who is now on trial for his alleged role in fire that killed Guy Henry, Jasmine Summers and Rose herself, as well as severely injuring another man, David Cheff, who testified at trial last week. A Greater Sudbury police officer for the last 24 years, Const. Catherine Huckel testified to a December 20, 2020, interaction with Rose that occurred after the officer had been dispatched to an address on Cambrian Heights Drive. That address was a residence leased to Liam Stinson. Jamie Lynn Rose died in hospital April 16, 2021, from injuries sustained in the April 11 fatal Bruce Avenue fire. Image: Myron Wilson Funeral Home. Huckel didn't testify to the reason GSPS officers were dispatched to locate Rose that day. The woman wasn't at the location provided, and after looking around the property, the officers found a person with a key to the residence. A keyholder is what Huckel called this person, who let them in. Upon entering the unit, Huckel said she observed a house in disarray, empty beer cans scattered, sticky floors with spills on them, clothes all over the floors, and a large hunting knife in a case. During this effort, Huckel testified police were also trying to contact Stinson, which they did shortly after they exited his unit. Huckel testified she eventually found Rose at the warming center formerly located at 19 Froude Road, sipping hot chocolate. Huckel testified she did not appear to be under the influence, nor did she have any observable injuries, nor did she report any. She testified that Rose told her she was done with Stinson. She stated that she did not feel safe and was scared of Liam. Huckel testified Rose said she wanted to go back to Timmins, and the officer said she was able to get Rose some clothing, get her back into the Cambrian Heights Drive unit she shared with Stinson, and bought her a bus ticket. The GSPS officer said she also connected Rose with victim services in Timmins. Huckel testified that Rose felt that there was no way else to seek help. She had no money. What's more, the officer testified that Rose told her she received $500 each Thursday, but as she had no identification and no bank card, Rose would e-transfer the money to Stinson. So Mr. Stinson was the only way for her to get the money, said Huckel. Pathology and toxicology. The jury also heard from a forensic pathologist and toxicologist, who further detailed postmortem findings of the three victims. On March 22, the jury heard from Dr. Martin Queen, who detailed the cause of death for both Summers and Henri. March 25 saw testimony from Magdalene Bellis, an anatomical and forensic pathologist who performed the postmortem examination of Rose. Rose died at Sunnybrook Hospital in Toronto 5 days after the April 11, 2021, fire. Rose had only thermal injuries to her body, Bellis testified, meaning the only visible wounds were the burns, that go deeper than a sunburn into the subcutaneous tissue, said Crown Attorney Elena J. Those burns covered 30-40% of her body, including her face. The toxicology report showed a combination of methamphetamine, hydromorphone, ketamine, and traces of fentanyl in Rose's body. Bellis testified it is likely that all but the methamphetamine was administered at the hospital. Bellis determined Rose died of smoke inhalation and thermal injuries. She also testified that while not causally related to the immediate cause of death, methamphetamine and toxic intoxication was a significant condition contributing to death. The Crown then called Trevor Bowdoin, a toxicologist with the Center for Forensic Science, who detailed for the jury each substance and the complex ways it metabolizes in the human body. He noted the metabolic byproducts scientists use to determine the amounts of drugs in the system and a rough timeline of consumption, often referred to as half-life, the time it takes for the amount of a drug's active substance in your body to reduce by half. He also indicated one couldn't determine exactly when these drugs could have been consumed. Wilkinson asked about how alcohol and cocaine interact. Bowdoin testified that alcohol is a nervous system depressant. Even if it feels at first like alcohol is a stimulant, that is only the social disinhibition. And while some believe that taking a stimulant such as cocaine with alcohol would counteract the depressant effects of drinking, that is not the case. Perceived experience might be that taking a stimulant after a depressant wakes them up. However, that is not how the pharmacology of that works. That's not how drugs work, said Bowdoin. Wilkinson asked whether high doses of stimulants could cause feelings of paranoia, anxiety, and have an affect on memory. Bowdoin agreed that these were all possibilities. Wilkinson also asked about the effects of cocaethylene, an active metabolite of mixing alcohol and cocaine, which, rather than a byproduct, can produce pharmacological effects that are equipotent to cocaine, Bowdoin said. Extends the half-life of cocaine, said Bowdoin. Essentially, it produces similar effects at similar concentration. Bowdoin said it would affect cognitive faculties, risk-taking behaviors, and how you are acting with other people. He also testified that cocaethylene would affect memory, as forming and making memories is complex and requires chemicals in the brain, and the ability to notice or perceive your environment enough to even form a memory could be impaired. Even if it is stored, you may not recall it later, Bowdoin said. The trial will continue beginning at 10 a.m. today. Jenny LaMoth is a reporter with Sudbury.com.